Happy belated 4th of July. Did you all have fun yesterday?
Yeah.
What did you do on this holiday? Yes.
Sleep.
Bowling? Okay, bowling sounds fun. 4th of July is a day that we can celebrate. This is a big day in this country, America. 4th of July is known for its fireworks, its celebration day off. Some of you might have gone to the beach and relaxed, or some of you might have just watched fireworks or tried to look for deals online for the 4th of July sale. My family was there in DC on the 4th of July, the day of July 4th, and it was sea of people, a lot of people, and we went, walked, and watched the fireworks. It was really nice. One experience that you can, it was really beautiful and nice to see that, and see how many people that were there, and also celebrating. So the 4th of July is known for the day of the birthday of America. That's what it is. So we associate it with fireworks, food, and just having fun and day off. But actually, it was the day that the declaration was signed, and then also declared that the 13 colonies were freed from the British rule. Right? What year was it? 1776, yes. So some of us remember that, so that's really great. Declaration of Independence, you can actually go to the museum in DC and see it yourself. That's the day. So birthday of America, happy birthday of America, that's what it was. But you know, in the Bible, if you were to pick a day, like a birthday of Israelites, which day would that be? A day that Israelites became free and became independent.
Right, we have something young.
The day that they came out of Egypt. So I was thinking, maybe Passover. Yes, that's what I was thinking, Passover. Now, I wanted to make a connection between Passover, 4th of July, and the seal of God. So that's where we are going. Now, we'll be studying from the book of Exodus, chapter 12. But here is what book of Exodus chapter 12 talks about. Now let me read some of it from the beginning. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be year-old, male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight.'" So let's pause here for now. So here, Moses is given instruction of how to keep the Passover, very first Passover. Now they are getting ready to be freed from this bondage of slavery from Egypt after 400 years. And they're basically saying, okay, first month. Now, how important is this day? And God is telling them to make this month, make this day, the beginning of the year. Do we do that? Is 4th of July January 1 for us? No. It's 4th of July. We didn't change the calendar. We just celebrate the day. But God is telling the Israelites, you know what? This is so important. This is such a great day. Your year should start from this event on. That's what God is doing. Make this day the very first of your history. History is being written here. That's how great this day is. They came out of Egypt. Now, The instruction is given, take a lamb for your family and one for the whole household. How much can you eat? 4th of July, can you eat a lot? Thanksgiving, can you eat a lot? Christmas, can you eat a lot? Yes. But a Passover meal, the instruction is saying that, well, see how much you would eat and calculate, because you don't want to waste any of the food. You kill a lamb and you feed a family. If your family is too small, then share with your nearest neighbor. The idea is that everyone will enjoy the meal and eat that meal, and you don't want to waste it. You don't want to keep it in the fridge. You don't want to, like, you know, throw it away. You don't want to do that. So that's why they're saying do that. Now, the scholars are saying they counted about 10 people per lamb. Is that a lot or not much? I think that's a lot, considering they also ate unleavened bread too. Right? So I think that's a lot. But, and they had to stand up and eat in a hurry. So I don't know if you eat fast, you can eat more. I don't know how that works, but that's what they did. And God is telling them, you need to do that. Now, this lamb that had been killed for to spare the lives of the firstborn, you all know the story of Passover. That lamb symbolizes who? Symbolizes Jesus. Are you sure? So here's a picture of a father of a household putting blood on the door top and the sides. And you see the family members gathered around. So here's a picture of that. Now, when you look at it, and this is to remember that how they came out of Egypt.
You don't want that one.
And
turn off the
now, button. Here is the verse that I want to tell you. John 1:29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John pointed Jesus as the Lamb of God. And this is the Lamb that was slain. So the Bible has many, many references. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, 1 Corinthians 5:7. So it's very clear. If you read on, it says, the animals you choose must be year-old, male, without defect, and you, without defect. Did Christ have any sin in his life? The lamb that you choose must symbolize Christ, who is sinless, who is perfect. That's why you have to choose a lamb or goat that is blameless. And also, must be a year old. And from either sheep or goat. So that also that verse also tells you that it is pointing to Jesus. These things happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones must be broken. So the instruction here said that do not break any of the bones of the sheep or the goat. Because none of Jesus' bones will be broken. What about the thieves on the either side? Were their bones broken? Yes. Their legs were broken so that they could die sooner. You know how that works? Because when you are hanging on the cross, it's difficult for you to breathe. You need to push yourself up so that your lungs would actually can expand and breathe air in. If their legs are broken, then it's difficult to breathe, and that's how they suffocate to death, to their own death. So for Christ, he had already died so that they didn't have to break his legs. So that's what it means. So this lamb that was killed on the Passover day actually symbolizes Jesus in so many different ways. And also it says, community of Israel must slaughter the animals at what? At when? Twilight. So this is an interesting point. This also points to Jesus. But when you think about it, we'll get to that point in a little bit. Okay, so think about twilight. And Jesus also died around the same time. So then we'll figure out what that means. But yes. Now, verse 4 says, each person must eat the lamb. So the father would choose a lamb until the 10th of the first month. and kill the lamb on the 14th day. So for 4 days they would keep the lamb around. And all together at twilight on the 14th day of the first month, they would kill the lamb together. Now, was the killing of the lamb enough? Then your firstborn, the life would be spared? What was the instruction? You have to kill the lamb or the goat, and then put blood on the doors. Was that enough? What else did you have to do? All the family members had to stay inside the house. They couldn't go out. And they had to break their ties with the Egyptians, meaning they can't just hang out with the Egyptians and say, hey, let's just play. No, you had to separate yourselves from the Egyptians and be inside your house. There were some other Egyptians who learned about it and who became Israelites. Not those. I'm talking about the ones who had lost their firstborns. So there were specific instructions that they had to follow. And killing a lamb wasn't enough. They had to also eat the lamb, the meat that they provided at the house where they're going to stay, and they put the blood on the doors. That's what they had to do. Follow the specific instructions, not just killing the lamb. Now, does that mean something? Pause and think about it. Killing of the lamb means that Jesus sacrificed himself, right? Now, putting the blood on the door and eating the lamb, they all mean something. What does eating of the lamb, which was Christ, what do you think that symbolizes? Is there any Bible verse that you can, or story that you can remember or think about eating of communion? Yes. Jesus said, eat this bread, or eat this, because this is my flesh. This is my body, this is my flesh, this is my blood. So by doing so, we are partaking of his life. But what does that also symbolize? When you eat, your body gets nourishment. Without eating, we can't have energy, right? Spiritually, by eating the body of Christ, or John 1 says, Christ is the I am the Word. He's the Word. He's the Word. So by eating his blood, drinking his blood, eating his flesh, that means you're not literally eating his flesh, but we are eating or studying the Word, Christ. That's what we are studying. So by doing so doing those things would actually be the instructions that you have to follow. So when we eat Christ, when we eat the meat that had been slaughtered for us, that's how we can be spared, how our lives can be continuing on. So here, family members will gather and they will eat. Usually Jewish people, when they eat, how could they eat? Their position? When you eat, do you stand up? Do you sit down? Do you lie down? Handstand? How do you eat? We usually sit down to eat, or sometimes we stand up to eat. Jewish people, they would lie down to eat. You all know that, right? So they become very comfortable, just like lying down to eat. But on this day, the instruction was they had to stand up, put on your coat, put your sandals on, and put a belt on, have your staff ready, get ready to go and just eat. Quickly. That was the instruction. So everyone inside the house wanted to be saved, their life saved, had to eat the lamb. Meaning, yes, we come to church, but without eating this word of God, we cannot really participate in this salvation. Yes, the lamb had been killed. Jesus died. The blood has been shed. But without eating of this meat, you may not be spared. We have to stay inside the house. We have to keep the instructions. Come to church, be in the community of God, be under this roof, listen to God, obey his commands, and we can expect to live. Here. Next quote. By the power of Christ, they must be changed into his likeness and reflect the divine attributes. They must eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, or there is no life in them. So for us as Christians, to maintain our life, we need to eat and drink the blood and the flesh, the body of Christ, which is the Word of God. That's what we need to do. Otherwise, we have no life in us. That's something that we need to definitely remember. Going to verse 6. Take care of them until the 14th day and slaughter them at twilight. When you think about twilight, what time of day are you thinking? Sunset. Does San Diego have beautiful sunsets? Yes. Have you seen some really beautiful sunsets in San Diego? Yes. It's not every day. You have to have everything perfectly right. You have to have some clouds, and it has to be right. But yes, I've seen some wonderful and beautiful sunsets here in San Diego. Yes. But when you think about twilight, this is what I was thinking too. Twilight, yeah, sunset, evening. Or after the sun had gone down, beyond the horizon. That's what I was thinking. But you know what? When the Bible says twilight, it's actually not this time. It's not this time. What time is this twilight? What does that actually mean? Twilight actually meant the time that they gave the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Now, according to a State Bible commentary, it was around. So do you know when, how often did people give, or Israelites in the Bible, Old Testament, or in the New Testament too, did they offer sacrifice? Twice. Morning sacrifice and evening sacrifice. Their prayer time was how many times? Three times a day. During the morning sacrifice and evening sacrifice and the noon time as well. So Daniel prayed how many times a day? Three times a day, opening his window towards Jerusalem. That's what he did. So we know a lot of people in the Bible who prayed three times a day because they prayed during that time. But the offering was morning and evening. Now, the morning sacrifice was around 9 a.m. The evening sacrifice was around 3 p.m. Think about it. So if you were to say, okay, well, Pastor, if it says twilight, I think it's sunset, meaning after sun had gone down. Because that's what I would think sunset would mean, like evening, right? What's evening? Do you consider 3 p.m. evening here in the American culture? 3 p.m. is like, no, it's afternoon. Sun is still out. It's really bright. It's nowhere near evening, right? Some people still eat lunch during 3 p.m., right? But if you think about it, if they had waited until the sun is about to set, where the sun had gone down beyond the horizon, would that technically be in the Bible time the 14th or the 15th? Ooh. When does the new day start and day end? At sunset, right? If you wait until sunset, it wouldn't be the 14th. They are waiting until the 15th to kill the lamb. So it has to be way before the sun had gone down. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's actually 3 p.m. And guess when Jesus died? He got crucified on the cross at 9 a.m. And when did he die? When did he pass away? He died at 3 o'clock, around 3 o'clock. That was the evening sacrifice time. So that also fulfills, the twilight also fulfills that he was the Messiah and the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. So that's how it was. Now, and if you have to take the blood and spray it or put it on the doorpost, so the door, if you think about it, the door on the sides, doorpost, and the door lintel, the top. If you have to put blood on it, that's how people had done it. With using what? A paintbrush?
No.
A bunch of hyssop. So what does hyssop mean? We'll get to that part too, but yes, that's what they used. The word that is used here, verse 7, put blood on the doorpost. The word put in King James Version is not put. It says strike. So if you read it in King James Version, it will say strike blood on the doorpost. And if you read the Aramaic translation, it says sprinkle blood on the doorpost. So it's not like nicely painting and making it really clean. Either strike or sprinkle. Modern translation says put, but the application was more of sprinkle or strike. You could think of it that way. Now, when you think about it, if you were to put blood on your door, how would that look like? Now, if you think about an entrance of a house, most people decorate their house entrance door with what? Nice plants, flowers, or some chairs for you to feel a little comfortable. And like really clean and nice. Trees, flowers, doormat saying welcome, or turn around and walk away. Whatever that you like to put there. You know, people feel welcome at their house when you go in. That's the first impression. You want to make it nice and clean, right? That's what people would do. So usually that's how it is decorated. But if you have blood on your door, okay, I didn't want to put a picture of a bloody door. I looked it up. It's pretty ugly. And I didn't want to put it up there. But you can imagine, if you are to sprinkle blood on the door, some people may want to do it during like Halloween and stuff. But it's pretty bad. But imagine that. If you use hyssop, like, okay, so if you bring like plants and try to put blood on your door, it's going to be messy. And what do you think it would look like on the floor? You have blood drip like all over the place. So it looks like you just slaughtered an animal there and you made a big mess. That's how they did it in front of their house. Now, if you have blood on things, on the paint, on the doors, how easily do you think they would come out? It's not going to come out very easily. So every time, so this is something that they practice every year. Passover is something that they do it every year. As a matter of fact, we talked about it became the very first point, first event of the whole year. They changed the whole calendar. So every year, beginning of the year, they would have Passover, meaning they would put blood on their doors. Not while they're living in the tent. Probably not a good idea to put blood on the tent, but when they moved into the promised land, they did it. So if you have blood on your door instead of nice flowers or plants, every time you walk to your house and go in and walk out, what do you see? It's not the nice plants or flowers or the welcome mat. It is the blood that you see. Which reminds you of what? Man, this is terrible. It stinks. It's bad. As bad it looks, as ugly it looks, as bloody and as gruesome it looks, it reminded you of the salvation that God had provided. The death that the animal had died to spare your life. That is Passover. That is Passover. Now verse 8 talks about you need to eat the meat roasted over the fire. When you eat your chicken or your beef, do you like to cook it on fire? Or do you like to cook it in water? Boil it? Which one do you like more? Both. Okay. Any chicken, any beef you can find, okay, I'll eat it. Sure. But here, in the Bible times, when they had sacrifice, they usually boiled to cook the meat. You can talk. You can remember the story of when the priest was offered a piece of meat. They actually bring a fork and they would actually scoop it out of the bowl that's boiling or cooking the meat, and they can pick and choose. Well, they don't really pick and choose. Whatever comes out of their fork, that's what they would keep. But you know, Hummi and Phineas, they would actually go and force it without cooking, and they would take the raw meat, and that was their fault. So you know that's how they prepare it. They usually boil it. But here, the Bible says, do not boil it, but roast it over fire. Have you thought about why God will tell them to do that? Imagine, if you were to boil the whole animal, how big of a pot do you need to have? It's a pretty big pot. And can you break the bones of the lamb or the goat or not? You cannot. If you were to make it into smaller pieces, then you need to cut and break the bones. So if you were to boil it, which if you have to throw the whole animal in there and boil it, then it's going to take forever. You can't do it. So you have to roast it on open fire. That's another reason why it was around 3 o'clock. They have to eat. If they kill it at twilight, meaning just around sunset time, like 6 p.m., they don't have time enough to prepare the meat, kill it, skin it, prepare it, wash it, and cook it, and eat it. But that would be too late. So that's why it says 3 o'clock. That's what they did. Now, the reason why they roasted is not to break the bone. So that also is a specific instruction. That's why they did it. Now, there's another quote that I want to share. It says, Pitcherton Prophet, page 277, says, the hyssop used in sprinkling of the blood was the symbol of purification. Being thus employed in the cleansing of the leper and of those defiled by contact with the dead. So using the hyssop to spray blood on it was to symbolize purification. That's what hyssop means. Now, also in Psalm 51, it says, cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. So that's what David was praying about. That's what hyssop means. Continuing on, this is a picture of the Pharaoh looking down on his son who had been killed after the night when the angel came and swept through the whole country, sparing the lives of the firstborn sons and the animals of all the Israelites. But all the Egyptians who did not follow the command, their firstborns died. So imagine, every single house in the whole country had somebody die. Some houses, more than one person. The father could be the firstborn, and the firstborn son, or the firstborn grandson. It could have been multiple people died in one household. So imagine how many people in the whole country were sad. Basically, the whole country. Everyone died. Like, every household had someone died in the family. So imagine that sadness and the shock that they had. They just been warned that would happen. They went through the 9 plagues, and this is the 10th plague. Saying that, you know what? At the first few, they were thinking, you know what? Our magicians can copy what Moses is doing, what Aaron is doing. But, like, plague number 4, they're like, you know what? We give up. We can't copy this. This is the hand of God. That's what they said. And now, plague number 10. How does the angel know that he's the firstborn and he's not the firstborn? And there is nobody who is a firstborn who was spared. Every single firstborn person had died. And every single firstborn animal also had died. It's just, there is no way. Except it is the hand of God. Now, when you think about this, Egyptians, they didn't have the instructions. Even if they wanted to spare their child, firstborn child, they couldn't because the instruction was given to the Israelites. Now, Israelites If they had not listened to the command of God, do you think their family would have been spared? No. They would have lost their firstborn son. But they all listened. On the other hand, Egyptians did not have the instructions, and their firstborns were killed. Now, for us, before the end of the end destruction comes, do we have the instructions from God? What to do to spare all of our lives? Do we know how to have eternal life? Do we have the instructions what to do to be saved? Yes. We can believe in the same Lamb of God who had been killed and shed his blood for us. When we believe in him, we can be saved. Now, Israelites had the instructions. Egyptians did not. Do we have the instructions to be saved? Yes, we do. But just because Jesus died, does that guarantee our salvation? No. He had been killed, as you know. His blood had been offered. But there were other things that you had to do. The family members had to gather inside the house, had to stay inside the house. They had to prepare the lamb. The father had to kill the lamb. The father had to apply the blood with hyssop on the doors. And they had to stay in there. They had to cook the lamb. And they had to eat the lamb. Follow the instructions exactly how God had told them. Are we, as Christians, are we, as believers, following the instructions that God has given? Are we eating? Studying the Bible. Are you praying? Without doing so, you can't expect this to pass. We may lose our firstborn sons. We may lose our lives if we don't follow the instructions. Now, this is something that I would talk to all the fathers. Let's go to the next slide. Next quote that I want to read says this. You may think, parents, that you have not time to do all this, but you must take time to do your work in your family, else Satan will supply the deficiency. Cut out everything else from your life that prevents this work from being done, and train your children after is order. Adventist Home, page 324. What this is referring to is this. If you go back and read this, Ellen White is talking about the religion of the family, keeping your family together, and keeping your the faith and the belief of your children, of your family members. That's what she means by here. So let me go back and look at it again. So, you may think, parents, that you have no time to do all this, to gather your family, bring your family to church, have family worship, and have prayer together, and go to church on Sabbath, and talk about God. We may think we may not have time to do this. I've been slacking off too. When we are busy, we may not have family worship, we may just have prayer together. You know what, we're so busy, let's just have prayer together. I've been doing that too. But you know, I was reading this and I was really convicted. And like, we really need to do this. Especially fathers or husbands, as the priest of the family, we really need to pay attention to this. Otherwise, it says, if we don't do our work, who is going to supply the deficiency? Satan. If we don't do our part, if God does not feed us, if we don't feed our family members with the Word of God or with the body of Christ, the living Word, then Satan will come and throw in social media, or smartphone, or a busy life, or work, or craziness of something, or sickness. Whatever that may be, Satan is really creative and he's smart. He's going to throw in a lot of things at us so that we will be busy and we have no time to sit down and do the devotions and read the Bible and spend the family time and have the family worship. If we want to do that, then yes, just live your life as is. But if we need to keep our family together, if we want to save our family, if we want to gather your family under this house, under this roof, where the door has been painted with the blood of the Lamb, then we need to take this seriously. So friends, when you do this, now having this is actually the seal, receiving the seal of God. Just here. Seal is what? A seal is like a stamp that you would have, like the candle wax, and you press your seal on it so that the candle wax will have the image of the seal. That's what that seal is, right? Now, what does that seal mean? How was it used? Now, the seal, so here, S.A. Bible Commentary talks about this. Seal attested the authorship of a document, indicated the ownership of the object upon which the seal was impressed. So it talks about the authorship and also the ownership. That's what that means. Having the seal of God basically means we are having the character of God. That's what that means. And the Bible talks about which commandment includes the seal of God? It's the fourth commandment. By doing so, we become like Him. We have His character. That's what that means. So, I have to really finish. So, I will wrap it up now. But basically, what it means is that when we think about Passover, we need to do the things that God has told us to do. It's not just that Lamb was killed and Dad is doing it, so I don't have to care. No, every family member has to participate, and we have to do it together and eat the meat that has been sacrificed. Without doing so, there's no guarantee.
What are you learning?
And we sometimes take it like, not seriously. Well, God will come sometime. I know this is coming sometime. Pastor talks about it's coming sometime, and I see the signs of times. Yeah, but
make you want to be a teacher.
Just hasn't come for 6,000 years, and I don't know when He will come. Maybe another decade, maybe another 50 years, or maybe not in my lifetime. But if you were the Israelites given the instruction of what to do for that Passover, would you be seriously taking that instruction and actually do it? Yes, because it's actually the physical life. You don't want to lose your children. Yes, you would do that. But how seriously are we taking this message? How seriously are we taking the quote that we just read from Amos? So my friends, let us think about this one more time. The seal of God, having us having the character of God, it is something that God is requiring us to do right now. And by following the instructions that was given during the Passover, during the time of this as we are living in, that's how we can have the seal of God. Do you want to have the seal of God in you? Do you want your children to have the seal of God? Yes.
You will.
And we need to take this seriously and pray that God will impress upon our heart to read the Word of God, eat Christ, the living bread, every day, so that Satan will not supply the deficiency, so that we can be filled with Christ in our heart, and we can have the image of Christ, the seal of God, that we can be ready for His coming. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your Spirit to convict us so that we would want to have your character. We would want to follow the instructions given. We would prepare our hearts for the soon coming calamities and the end times and the persecution and your soon coming. Lord, if we have been slacking off, we pray that you would please change us. Give us the heart to take this message into our heart and invite Christ to come into us. Eat this meat that has been prepared for us. take this word, the living word, into our heart and give it to, instruct it to our family members, to our children, so that they can be prepared as well. Please bless us so that we can have Jesus in us.